I'll call this meeting to order.
Wait.
So hey, Barrett, council meeting for Thursday, October 20th. We presented this thing via Zoom, or I see a lot of people at Coulee Street, so that's good for the in-person part. Just a reminder, like we do every meeting. This meeting is conducted. Everybody got it. The main thing is be respectful of each other. You know, be on time, Desmond. Stay on track. That's another part. You know, whatever the subject is, just try and stay on track. Try not to go left and right on me. We don't give legal advice, and the number one thing is the EV. That's always the issue. So we're always talking EV or how we can protect or you know. So anyway, let's go roll call. Start up with the council members first.
Norman Kaimuo, represent Kona.
Trey Vinapiki representing Hilo. And sorry about my video, it should be up in a couple minutes.
Hola, Higa. Homea, Kau District. Aloha.
Yeah, Scott Mahoney, I'll be representing Kohala. And Kalena, you muted, so.
Can you unmute me, Chris?
Oh, here you go. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not. Okay, aloha. Kalena Blakemore representing Puna.
Okay,
aloha. Well, Pivella, large landowner.
Right on. Thanks. The other people that's sitting on this meeting, Lokelani.
Aloha Kako, Lokelani Brand. I'm with ASM Affiliates and be for agenda item A, the Kohala Shoreline Draft Barrier Treatment Plan.
Thank you. The people, well, do they want to introduce themselves or what? Or shall we do that when they talk?
Yeah.
Maybe when they talk, but
Okay, great.
But I want Chris to have them all sign in on a sheet of paper just so I can for the minutes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Wayola, can you do the pulley?
Okay. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for the opportunity of serving our Kupuna EV. Pray that our blessings that we be in our best spirits, that we get along well, and that we make good decisions. And that we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Mahalo. The minutes they're not ready, right?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't have a chance to finish the minutes, so we can.
Is there any reason why you're not finished with the minutes? I mean, is the process? Because I remember we changed it so many times. I just wondering if it's, you know, all the past where we have to like write everything down.
No.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I just didn't get a chance to work on the written part of the minutes.
Okay, so you're good with the way we're doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay. Getting on to the business part. The draft barrel treatment plan for SHPTI sites 50-10-05-2496, (4004, 4013, 16148, and 16162). Kahua Ili Ili.
That's good.
Ahupua, North Kohala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, parentheses 3, number 5-9-001:008. Information, discussion, determination, recommendation. Okay, shall we start off with Lokelani?
Sure.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I got my hand up. Can I do a quick presentation, please? This is Jojo in South Kohala.
No. You can speak at the end when we do the communication.
Okay, then I cannot show you the place. I'm here now, but I'm going to go find me a Wi-Fi. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. Okay, look at Lani.
All right, aloha nui kako. And it's been a really long time since I've been here. So it's good to see some new faces and stuff. So I'm here to sort of present the draft burial treatment plan for 5 burial sites that were identified in the Hupua'a of Kahua Li'i'i in the South Kohala area. Yeah, sorry, North Kohala area. It's for 30, the property is 37 acres. It's located on the Makai side of Akonipule Highway. So I'll just do sort of a quick review of the past archaeological work, which goes back to the 1980s, to just sort of bring us up to speed on what has transpired. So this area has been surveyed from going back to the 1980s, but the first sort of formal archaeological inventory survey was conducted between 1991 and 1992 by Paul H. Rosenthal. At the time they were doing this AIS, the development for the property was for a single family residence. During that AIS, they recorded 4 burial sites, 4004, 4013, 16148, and 16162. A burial treatment plan was prepared for that and was taken to the burial council and got approval as well from SHPDI for preservation in place. Over the years and since then, there's been several changes in zoning for that property. Right now, it is a plan for a 6-lot subdivision, but prior to this, it was zoned RS15, so meaning a density of 15,000 square foot lots on the 37 acres. So that's been revised, and now it's just it's been reduced down to a 6-acre lot. During that change of zoning, SHPDI had requested that an updated AIS be conducted to do another site condition assessment and to document any undocumented features, as well as determine if the prior mitigation commitments that were made during the 1991 PHRI study was still sufficient or if they needed to be revised. In the updated AIS, that's when ASM affiliates got involved in that particular project. One more additional burial site was found, was identified during that work, and that is site 2496 featured D. In total, we're looking at 5 burial sites with about 10 burial features on this particular 37-acre property. This particular BTP, we're rolling in the earlier work, for the 4 sites, the earlier BTP, we're rolling that into this one, as well as adding site 2496. And the reason for rolling in the 4 other burial sites into this one that have an approved treatment of preservation in place is because in that burial treatment plan, PHRI actually specified that on page 1, I'm just going to read the quote that wasn't included in that. So PHRI states, while it is the intent of the owner to develop only the western portion of the project area and to leave the larger eastern portion in its present undeveloped condition, it is recognized that the possibility of changes in intended property use by the current and or subsequent owners may arise in the future. Therefore, any proposed future changes in land use for the eastern portion of the property will require the owner to return to the HIBC for possible reconsideration of the adequacy of the long-term preservation measures for the burial site as proposed in that particular BTP. So we're coming back to just sort of fulfill some of these obligations. I'm going to jump down. We have maps inside there's maps inside the draft BTP for you folks to look at that shows the location of the different, the sites and then the individual features that are covered in this draft BTP. I'm going to jump down to sort of our search for lineal and cultural descendants. So I believe we came, or Bob Berkman did sort of an informational presentation, I want to say back in 2018, for this particular property. We published notices in the newspapers. I worked with Shifty to try and identify any descendants that were registered lineal agricultural for either Kahua, and there were none. And so we sort of
Look, Alana, you froze up. Okay, you froze.
Might have to text her if you got her number.
She's probably not going to know. I'll text her.
Okay.
Thank you, La. Mahalo.
Loki just texted. She said her computer died on her, but she's gonna come back on once it turns it back on.
Okay.
We could probably just wait then, yeah. It'll probably just take a minute.
I'll give her 5 minutes.
Okay, can we put on some elevator music while we're waiting?
Okay, she just called. She says she's not sure how long it's going to take. She doesn't know what's going on with her computer, but she said if we wanted to move on to the next item, she would be okay with jumping back in later. So I'll leave that up to you guys if you want to separate the discussion or just try and hang on for a little while until she comes back on.
I think I'll move to item B in the business part, the discussion of HIBC membership roles and responsibilities. If we never really do this, and we'll just go over some brief stuff just to kill time too. But the overview of the membership of the council, 5 island councils, Hawaii, Maui, Lanai, Molokai, Oahu, and Kauai Niihau. All of them have 9 members, except for Molokai, they have 5. And Molokai has 1 land representative, 1 landowner representative, and the other ones have up to 3. Right now we have La as the only one. This is an important part. Duties of the Borough Council. The primary responsibility of the council is to determine whether previously identified Native Hawaiian burial sites that appear to be over 50 years old should be preserved in place or relocated. This is the number one priority of us. 2, the Department of DLNR Historic Preservation Division, otherwise known as SHPDI, shall consult with the councils as to burial treatment and preservation plans, and the council shall make recommendations to SHPDI regarding the appropriate management, treatment, and protection of Native burial sites. 3, councils shall decide whether to recognize a claimant to Native Hawaiian burials as lineal or cultural. By lineal, we mean direct contact, I mean association with the Ivi. And by cultural, we mean people from the same ahupua. Council members shall assist CHPD with the inventory and identification of Native Hawaiian burial sites by providing information from families and other sources. Council shall elect a chairperson and vice chairperson. And the last responsibility of the council is to maintain a list of appropriate Hawaiian organizations, agencies, and others notifying regarding the discovery of Native Hawaiian burial sites. Organizations like Native Hawaiian organizations and others, but okay. B, CHPD shall provide administrative support services to councils. They shall post a notice of council meeting agenda with the Lieutenant Governor's office, make arrangements for the council meeting location and site inspections, record and transcribe council member minutes, acquire and verify all information necessary, submit to the applicant in writing the council's determination and recommendations accepted by CHPD. Generate correspondence on behalf of the councils, provide information to the councils relating to appropriate management and treatment and protection of Native Hawaiian burial sites. Okay, well, the main thing is to let everybody know and us, you know, our responsibilities and duties. Goodla, sorry.
Sorry, I've brought this up before, and Kia, you've heard it. The recognition of lineal and cultural descendants, where cultural descendants must prove descendancy claims to the ahupua'a. It says in Hawaii administrative rules, it says ahupua'a or district. And our districts are not our ahupua'as, and it's been specified, you know, Kea mentioned that means ahupua'a. I talked to one, you know, Hale Aloha guys, and they said it means district. It doesn't mean ahupua'a. That's why it's listed separately. So I guess that's
you're talking moku then, huh? Like kona.
That's what has always been interpreted by me. And mm-hmm. When I talk to other people, that's how it's interpreted. I know we've talked about it a couple times. We all kind of feel that way. And I think that needs to be addressed, because we can't, CHPD doesn't get to decide that district now means ahupua'a. And mm-hmm. that's very limiting, considering that our ancient and historic villages were not expansive across every ahupua'a necessarily. And that a lot of us have ties to a very specific ahupua'a, with the assumption and understanding that those that extend kind of right out of that boundary will also, they'll probably also have connections too. So that really concerns me when it comes to ensuring that people are, there are registered lineal and cultural descendants. You know, lineal descendants, they're proving that they're connected to an identified burial site, but there are so many unidentified kupuna who have ohana that are alive today. And I think if we, you know, if CHPD is going to change that, it needs to be in discussion with more than just their department. It needs to have that. And you know, the people who wrote that into our roles and responsibilities and created that definition are still alive. So it you know, and then there's been a couple of them that have said it's district is moku, not ahupua'a. So It feels like it's a limiting term, or it's becoming more limiting, and it's making it harder for descendants to prove that they are connected to a space when they still clearly and obviously are. If we say you have to prove that your family was tied to this exact ahupua'a versus the one right next door, which was likely still, there's still a connection because they're in that kona moku, and that wasn't how it was, that wasn't established when previous descendants applied. So it's just, you know, it kind of makes me worried for when there is a development and there's an ahupua'a where we've got descendants that have connections to that entire area on the coastline. except for that one space, or they can't prove that claim to that one area. And then there's these unidentified, you know, there's these burials with kupuna in this one ahupua'a who are not being protected or properly cared for by our community because nobody can prove that they had a exact connection to that exact ahupua'a versus maybe right there, right, you know, a house right on the ahupua'a next door. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, with the discussion of our roles and responsibilities, I don't know how to address that, but that really concerns me.
Would interpretation by the AG satisfy your concerns on whether it's a district or an ahupua'a?
Well, I mean, didn't Hale Aloha help write those? AG.
What's that? Sorry.
Wasn't what that? There are people who helped to create these rules that are still here that we can consult with and discuss it with, and that the Shifty could discuss it with too. So I don't understand why that's not happening. I've had conversations.
Yeah. Well, I understand your concerns, but another way to look at it too is, say you in this ahupua'a, or the Ibis in this one ahupua'a, a guy from 20 ahupua'as away, if they have numbers, they can actually decide what's going to happen to those Ibis. So I would think, my idea is that the reason the ahupua'a is because you become more site-specific and more, I would think, more family connected to that ahupua'a. Instead of somebody 20 ahupua'as away in the same moku telling me they're going to take this, they want those.
Oh, totally. Food. Totally. But the concern I have is that this isn't a conversation that we're having. Like, you and I aren't, you know, we're not involved in that conversation. So that's the part where it's like, this can't just be a decision made by Shifty. It needs to be discussed with not even, like, I wouldn't even say just burial council, because we don't speak for every individual in our community either. But I mean, it was never done that way in the past. In the past, you could apply for the moku. And you know, within our own community, I hope that we can know and trust that our own people are going to defer to the person they know is more ma'atu and pili with that aina and with those kupuna. But I'm a little nervous about the idea that instead of having 20 people from 20, you know, from an ahu, like 5-10 ahupua'a down, we've got nobody protecting and representing these kupuna because we cannot make a clear connection that way. Or we're making this decision without really talking to these ohana that, you know, just a process for, you know, process for getting recognized as a descendant is pretty simple for some people, but it can be really difficult. And I guess I just want to know that we're having this conversation as a community versus Shifty making this decision that this is how it's going to be looked at. And I don't think the AG could answer that question, but I do think that the people who have developed these rules could, and they're still in our community. They're still here, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it concerns me. And I just felt the need to address that and bring that to everybody else, because I understand we want to be specific and we want to be really careful about not being too vague so that everybody has an input everywhere. We get too many opinions on the table, but we also don't want to prevent ohana that have very obvious like connections to this space from being recognized. So I guess I just, you know, if you've got all this information to back up that your family lives in that area, but you still cannot prove that one ahupua'a, that's, I don't know. It seems like a no brainer that if you're right there, literally right next door, I'm not talking 20 ahupua'a down. And that's at our discretion too. So there is that, but it's concerning to me that it's being changed, but it's not being discussed. That change is not being discussed.
Okay. Kyo?
Yeah, so from, you know, from a government process standpoint, the only people that can really make that final determination on what that definition means, because this is an administrative role, it would be the Board of Land and Natural Resources. The other body that can make that final decision, of course, would be a court. With that said, you know, in government, with every administration or every supervisor management level job position, you know, these rules, the interpretation can change. And that happens, you know, in DLNR, it happens with other State Department bodies, happens with the federal government, you know, it happens at every level of government that their interpretations of the rules change. So, you know, from what it was before, it could have changed today. And, you know, again, the only people that can make that final decision would be the BLNR, who approves the administrative rules, or a court that says, you know, whatever the administrative rules are legal or not. So, you know, it can be challenged to be clearly defined, but it would have to get to that point. The other thing is, I know you said sometimes, like, you know, what if there's nobody there to represent that Apupua? You know, that's kind of one of the main reasons you guys are here, to represent the district that you guys are serving, the event nobody else comes forward to represent them. That's what your role is. You know, for Traven, you know, if nobody comes forward for a specific Apupua in Hilo, it's Traven's kuleana to represent Hilo for the EV when nobody else comes forward, because he's representing Hilo. And same goes for you know, Waiola for Hamakua, or Uncle Norman for Kona. They represent those districts when nobody comes forward to represent it. The other thing, and you guys kind of talked about this, is you know, the size, you know, representing or coming forward for a district. And then the other thing is, you know, if they said Ahupua'a and they meant to say district as in Moku, and we kind of feel like they would have said Moku instead of district. But then thinking about districts across the, you know, across all the islands, the districts on our island are the size of the island, of the other islands. And so, you know, somebody coming forward for one part of, you know, Hilo, the southern part of Hilo, for a burial in the northern part of Hilo, and not the new Hilo district, the old Hilo district, the entire Hilo district, is like somebody coming forward from Waianae for a burial out in, you know, Waikiki. You know, the districts are just the size of islands. So having people come forward for an entire district that, you know, like what Uncle Scott was saying, is it's a little different for our island. And so that, you know, it's district would be harder to interpret thinking of it that way, as entire districts. And the last thing is, you know, we do make the recommendations, but you guys make the final decision on if people are recognized. And you've seen us write recommendations where we don't recognize a descendant. And so, you know, if a descendant doesn't qualify, but what they present to you, you guys feel like they should qualify, you guys can choose to recognize them as a cultural descendant if whatever they present you is sufficient for you guys to believe they qualify as a cultural descendant to the EV.
Okay, thank you, Kim. Now, I would think since DLNR is responsible for the rules and regs of the council, the Barrow Council, the person to interpret those rules and regulations would be the AG. So I really like to see what they say, because I really wasn't aware of what Law said about they state Apua or district. You know, I always thought it was just Apua, but that one word put in district, you know, it broadens it up a lot. So if we could get some kind of interpretation by the AG, that would be helpful to me anyway. And I understand totally what Law's concerns are, you know, and Kale's reply on you know, if nobody can be a cultural descendant to that Apua, then it's up to the council member who represents that district to step up. Okay, La.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I really appreciate that. I think what I think of when I think of this whole situation too is that we do represent certain interests, but none of us have to prove that we're descendants of the Ahupua. You know, I'm Lai's landowner, but if you're a representative of any district, you don't actually have to prove that you're a genealogical descendant of that Ahupua. You probably live in that Ahupua and probably have long ties and have a pilina. But when you register as a cultural descendant to a district, you're not necessarily having some sort of huge say over these Ahupua. It's that if there is no lineal descendant present, to, you know, lineal descendants with ties to that Ahupua'a present, then you're supporting that the decision-making process as a representative of that district because you're the next best thing. And so that's the part where I look at it as lineal and cultural. The delineation is that if you're a lineal descendant, you get priority in decision-making because you're connected to those kupuna. But if you're a cultural descendant of the Kona district, that just means that you're involved in the consultation with all the other Kona people. There's plenty of Kona people that are registered as descendants, and there's Kona people registered as lineal descendants in one spot and cultural elsewhere, but they're from Kona. They have a connection to that place. And if you're a North Kona person, the moku is separate. So you're not South Kona speaking for North Kona. Those are separate. When you're doing it, they're separated. So South Kona people are taking care of each other, North Kona people taking care of each other, Kohala, et cetera. So it's you know, we say it's not a ladder because it's not, but if my tutu lady was buried and none of my family was alive anymore and we're making decisions, the next in line would be somebody from that district, not somebody from this council who possibly has or does not have a pilina with that space, but somebody who's closer in range. And I guess that's the part where I don't really, I'm not looking at it as like this negative thing to have more descendants recognized that represent our communities. I know that we have disagreements and that we don't always see eye to eye as communities. You know, not everybody agrees on everything, but I trust my community to support decisions for our community kind of thing. So I don't really see it as a bad thing to have descendants recognized when there's still a ladder. So I think that's where I was coming from. And I mainly just wanted to have that discussion and throw that out there as something that is a little worrisome to me, but in no way do I think, you know, I'm not looking at it as like, Kale, why are you doing this? It's more like, you know, it's a concern for me. I'm a little confused as to why we're, why that would be a bad thing. So that's about it.
All right, thanks a lot. Anybody else on that subject? Go ahead, Kalena. Kalena, go ahead.
There, sorry. I just wanted to concur with Law, and I too have had that question come up for myself and have heard different answers from different people at CHPD, and I think we need clarity because it's ambiguous. And there's nothing wrong with asking for clarity so that we know exactly what we're working with, because I think it's important that all people should be able to be recognized as descendants from different areas and not be limited by the word district or Ahupua. It's just really ambiguous. So thanks, La, for bringing it up again. I know we forget about it until it comes on our plate and we have to make decisions. And I think we should, like Scott was saying, reach out to our AG and maybe reach out to Hale Aloha and find out what he meant when he wrote that in the rules. That's all.
Okay, great. Lukalani's back with us, so we can continue with item A of the business portion. Go ahead, Luki.
All right, my computer just went off, but I'm back. So I'll pick up where I left off regarding the search for lineal and cultural descendants. You know, we looked through Mahele records. There were two claimants to Kahualili Ahupua'a, but they were never awarded those lands. So we couldn't find any other information on those families. We did put out the public notice in the Honolulu Star Advertiser, West Hawaii Today, Kawaiola, consulted with CHPD to see if there were any additional descendants that were registered. for Kahualili'i or Kahuanui, as well as some of the adjacent Ahupua'a. There was no prior registered descendants. And so we wasn't able to do really detailed consultation with any registered lineal or cultural descendants or anyone seeking that status. So we are sort of some of the proposed treatments as it's been developed right now. We're looking at preservation in place for all of the sites and all of the burial features. With a 30-foot buffer that would extend from the edge of the site. So some of the short-term preservation measures would be the installation of orange fencing on the 30-foot buffer mark, which would be verified and submitted to SHPD for verification. Long-term preservation measures would be the construction of a rock wall about 3 foot high on the 30 to mark the 30-foot buffer, with no development or any kind of activity within those preservation easement areas. Any future land owners of the 6 lots would be responsible for the long-term management. And they would also be responsible for implementation of the rock wall portion of it. The fencing would be installed by the current land owner. Let's see. As far as access, I believe on...
You're talking on... Wait, 1 second. The rock wall you just talked about, right? Is the responsibility of who?
The individual lot owners.
Oh, not the developer.
Not right now. Not the developer. They're putting the preservation, the temporary things in, and but the long term stuff would be on the individual lot owners in the future.
How does that get enforced when nobody's bought the lots yet?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, is it part of the agreement when they buy those lots that they got to do this?
Yeah.
Fulfill all these different requirements?
Yeah. So it becomes sort of like a caveat to the purchase that the landowner is, you know, aware that when they're buying these lots, they have these other things that they need to do as well. So if they're going to go for their grubbing and grading permit, which should be to put up their house or things like that, then that's when, you know, Shifty would make sure those things are in place before they issue the permit.
So the developer already has sort of like contracts or deeds, for the sale of those lots, right?
I believe so. I'm not too sure.
Well, you know, that would really help us too, because we already know how many times guys say they're going to do this and it never happens. So my question is, if the landowner, whoever buys that lot, is responsible, I sure would like to see in his contract where he got to do that. Is there any way we can get that kind of evidence that they're going to fulfill the requirements?
Right.
You can ask, though. I mean, I just wondering.
Yeah, we could probably develop some language to specify that.
Because they're going to have to do it anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just wanted to ask you that. Thanks.
let's see. So on page 1241 of the document, the very last page, there's a map that shows where the sites are located. So if you can kind of turn to that particular page, we're looking at figure 32. The red shows the burial site areas, and then everything that's in that lighter green is all going to be preservation areas. So no development activity of any kind in that area. And then the darker green shows the individual preservation sites within that. So there will be a public access route that will be developed. There's going to be a parking area just makai of Akonipule Highway. And from there will be a walking path that goes down to the old Alaloa, which is now sort of a jeep trail. And so people will be able to access the coast and things, you know, continued holoholo or stuff like that down in that area.
I had a question on you talking about are we on the proposed treatment plan now, number 5 on page 40 yet?
Yes.
Well, I have a question about the at the very end of that paragraph, short term, prior to the start of any groundbreaking, disturbing thing, all constructive personnel. Somebody get, wait. Prior to the start of any ground disturbing work, a cultural sensitivity and awareness briefing will be presented. By who?
Usually the landowner usually contacts archaeological firm. So a lot of times we end up going back out there to do those cultural awareness briefings with construction personnel.
Oh, the landowner, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think we came across this problem. I'm just concerned based on the landowner following his permit process about compliance. I mean, who monitors that?
No.
I mean, 20, 30 years down the road, he doesn't do anything. Who keeps track of that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there infrastructure for that? Or I just wonder.
My understanding that is Shifty's responsibility to enforce compliance with some of these laws, with implementation.
Just my concern, but there's so much of that going on, like that DeLuz case up Upper Hilo, taking down all those over 100 sets of EV. And, you know, he's supposed to be fined. And my understanding is he hasn't paid any of those fines. I mean, who enforces that? That's my only question. I mean, everybody's familiar with that property DeLuz is involved with. Up in Ahupoa Kaohe, where he leveled that burial ground.
Yeah.
And then he was in violation. He was fined, but maybe Kel can answer that. I'm just, my concern is compliance. Who follows this?
Well, let's stay on with Lokelani. I understand what you're saying, but
yeah. All right. That's fine.
Also, you know, when we talk about who, and you say the landowner again, that should be in the contract again, whenever they buy that thing off. Because I'm pretty sure whoever buys that property from Texas is not going to be looking at all of those little things or worried about them. So that's our concern is what happens to the EV. From the very beginning, I said the EV is number one with us. So we have to make sure there's some kind of compliance like Desmond looking for or enforcement or whatever, or at least an agreement that they understand what the kuleana is. You know, so I would think that's another point that they should put in besides the other one I asked you about, the sensitivity or awareness classes that they have to abide by.
We also have in the last section of the plan that, you know, they have to do a meet and bound survey, and that shows where these preservation areas are, burial sites and as well as other preservation sites that need to be protected. And that actually gets recorded against the title to the property. So that information is then disclosed to any future property owner that, you know, these are, there's burial sites and there's other, you know, culturally sensitive sites on that property.
Another question I have is that paved parking lot.
Uncle Scott.
For the access, right? They can park at that paved, is that paved parking lot already there?
No, it's not there. So they're planning
who parks there? Just people that using the trails or fishing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on that map, it shows that green, you know, that green line coming down, and that's the sort of the access route to get down to the coast.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I'm looking at your map on page 41. You have five burials over three lots, mm-hmm. or four lots. Which is a long area. I mean, how does one get from, what if he wants to see all five of them? How's the access, how's that going to be presented?
Yeah. Four
lots.
Right. So right now, three of those burial sites, they could be accessed from the trail going down. And then the other ones are sort of in these tucked away areas, but they're in sort of steep gulches. So creating another walking path didn't seem super feasible to send people down sort of a steeper hillside. But if that is a concern, those are things you can, you know, can roll in and address in this particular plan.
Yeah, so, I think that's a bit major concern because that area looks rough.
Yeah.
then you're looking at the landlord who's probably on lawyer. He's looking at liability to get people to visit. Who's somebody in a Yeah, who's that raising hand? It's not Kiki. Yeah?
Kiki.
All right, it's you.
Kiki coming.
I come into the thing about that, what we said about people follow up. You know, when you come to a lot that wasn't developed and you stay where it's subdivided, you reflect to hopefully. So we are a lot not developed, and I buy them. And they get like an archaeological survey over there. You get what they call on building envelope. Say the thing is 1 acre. Go on building envelope, the council supposed to, the council representatives, no more even descendants. The council representatives supposed to speak in favor and represent the bearer. So in this building envelope, we're going to ask the guy, okay, no sewage supposed to run over the barrel. Get a buffer, right? And there's this thing called CCNR, Covenants, Codes, and Restrictions. You guys put that in, you guys. To guess that to the developer that goes with the lot. You also reserve a CCNR with the county. So when they will come and do a development on the property, from grading permit or anything, right there, the thing will show up inside that file with that team here, where the barrel sites there, and what was the buffers besides over there, and the CCNRs. Like you said, if you go to the wrong place for public access and got access to this property, then the owner, you like, before the guy even buy them, when he look at the lot, he go, okay, I gotta make sure that I can let the people cross through over here. You're going to recognize descendant, I got to make sure I give access to it. And that's all the law required, but you guys can tell them. That's why it's called CCNR, Covenant, Codes, and Restriction. Mm-hmm. I don't see that going on nowadays, but before, every block that don't come out, we ask them, okay, what is the building envelope? In other words, get a 1 acre, where the road going to come, because we let know. If the house situated, like Obama, see Obama or no other, just to give you guys an example. When they do the thing, get 2 barrels. Okay? In the barrels over there, and I said, oh, you know what? You cannot build 1 house. So you gotta build 2 houses. So you go for build 2 houses. Get 1 barrel over there where they can put the outside back. The guys over there when decide for moving the barrel instead of the bathroom. Which was first, the barrel or the batteries? Right? And they already know that's a barrel. But see, that's what happened to the council. They decided, yes, you can move them. But as this preservation in place, that's also about the covenants and the restriction. When you put the buffer and everything, somebody else will get one lot of council come and change them. That happened. People will be reading. They're a terrific lawyer. Because they're already in the covenants and codes before the guy purchased the property. That's entering into an agreement before formally signing to the property. And that's what you guys check. Where is this covenant and code registered? Covenant, code, and restriction, and that it goes with that property, that TNP. And then I thought about the cultural descendant. You are a cultural descendant because nobody can step forward in place of nobody stepping forward. But when cultural descendant can be somebody from the next Abu Wah, whatever, from adjacent. Because if you look in corner and you look at Jimmy guys, they like Gumalama the site, right? But they're from Kale and Haliki. But you see, Wahana still stay from corner, like you said, and related to the guys in that Ahuwa or in that part of the corner, South or North. So they guys come and they ask for be recognized on the council as cultural descendants. Why? So they can Gumalama the living. Take out the and clean out the place. Why? Because they're extreme rabbit. The county doesn't back because it's private property. The landowner said he must be good. So now asking you guys for recognition so they can come over and Malaka. That's the only way they can get property. Just so that the owner say, okay, you know what? If that's what you do, then they will get an agreement with the landowner. But that's where the thing come about cultural descendant. Somebody move their family. Yeah? They move mainland. The last descendant, you in your own culture descendant, be mainland. They look at the agenda. They're going to call you up and say, no, I cannot come. All of for Zoom. Yeah, I'm going to submit my genealogy. I'm going to show you. If I not control myself through this kupuna, I can show you that my family that resided in this Ahuwa. Nobody coming forward. I let you recognize as a culture descendant. They're my preferred. Just check them out. Ruskia, and then tell you, okay, now we'll submit this to you guys so you guys know why I went approval or not, the department. That's how that thing goes. So with you guys, well, we're not getting that now. So how thoroughly will you see me that each lot, I don't want 12,500 lot, hopefully a 12, which means like 1250. See, the thing following all the way. Hokukano, the thing changed. Yeah. See? And how the thing was also in agreement for we hold up to that covenant closing institute. At that time, was Lyle Anderson that was the developer. He kept on coming. And then he said, you know what? We finished with the archaeological survey. You know what? There's too many inadvertents. We go, boom, some more. I mean, too many inadvertents. We stopped that project. Said, you know what? We'll get on our archaeological survey.
Yeah, well, hold on, Kiki. You know.
Sorry.
What is your point to Lokelani about this burial treatment plan? Because you say,
how does the council follow up on what we asked them? That's the covenant's posing restriction for that particular lot. Yeah? Then that's how you will check. You make sure on the minute that you put to that particular parcel, telling the owner, the developer, before you start a lot. This is what you got to put over here. This is the buffer. And this is what we're going to say. And this is the covenant that got to be gone. So the thing go in the county. So when they come for a grabbing permit and you guys no longer there, 10 years later, click on 10 times, boom, we'll say, oh, there, the covenant goes in this. Unless they give a better idea.
Yeah, thanks, Kiki. Look, Alani, can you at least get into the discussion with the people you're working with on just exactly what Kiki was trying to explain to us?
Yes.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anybody else on discussion of this bird treatment plan?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
How big exactly was this parking lot that they're proposing to build?
Sorry, what was that? I missed the first part.
The parking lot that's going to be built, how big is it?
So let's see. It's like 5 or 6 stalls.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's that turnaround area too. So the parking lot would be right off to the side of that turnaround area. And it's to allow for people to continue to go down to the coast and for, you know, gathering and things like that.
The coast is what you guys consider the east side, eastern part of the property. Or west side.
That'll be it's near the highway, right?
Northern.
Yeah. You can see that parking lot on page 41.
Scott, I think Law had a question.
Good, Law. Sorry.
No, all good. I had a few questions. I hope I'm not jumping the gun because I know you presented some portions of the preservation measures, but I kind of just have questions for short, long-term, and then access. So the first thing, you know, you had mentioned that it, because when they get the building permits and whatnot, they'll be required to put the permanent preservation buffer in first, right? So they absolutely cannot build until that preservation buffer is in place.
Mm-hmm.
So that is just assumed, right? We don't need that included because it's kind of how our state rules work. And
it's assumed, but it, you know, I can always put that extra language in that doesn't you know, hurt to put that extra language in.
I think that would be good just in case that changes long term for whatever reason. Just because, you know, that what does rise some concerns if it's not in place. If the individual lot owners are responsible for that, but they're not allowed to build their house until it's in place, then that's totally satisfactory to me. But if for whatever reason that's not the case, then the developer needs to put those buffers in before they sell their lots. The second question is under long-term permanent preservation measures. It does say no development or agricultural activity will be permitted, but then it says the landowner is responsible for maintaining the vegetation. Does that mean that there's landscaping within the burial sites that's permitted?
So no.
It's just invasive species control.
Yeah. So if there's, kiawe that starts to grow within the preserve, something that would compromise the feature itself, you know, the burial site, then the landowner has, you know, okay to go in and just kind of clear out any invasive species that would compromise the site.
Without ground disturbance.
Yeah. So okay. Just general hand clearing, but no landscaping, no putting up, you know, anything inside. They're supposed to sort of remain in its natural state. So that clause for hand clearing is just to maintain the site, to make sure nothing is just, you know, it's not left to just become overgrown with stuff.
Totally. So in that case, I would agree with other council members that there needs to be some sort of compliance and reporting plan developed. Whether it be that they just have a consistent report of site compliance, where they maintain record keeping that they are maintaining the site, they're not just letting it go. And Shipley can just ask, or descendants can ask. I think that that's important. If descendants can say, you know, this site is really overgrown, can you show me your maintenance reports? And then there is something on file with photos and dates and such. I think that's important. Because if the landowner is responsible, but they're not taking care of the site, that's actually more likely, because mm-hmm. things like that just get away from us. And then you have deep rooted trees and whatnot. And I don't know how descendants would feel about that. The access for lineal or culture descendants section, I think the 48 hours prior notice is completely understandable, but I feel a little concerned about the part where it says and subject to landowner approval, because I don't know what that entails. That seems like a control that the landowner shouldn't be entitled to. They are required. They have an obligation to provide lineal and cultural access, and as well as access to cultural practitioners. And I don't know that being subject to landowner approval is an appropriate verbiage for that. It also says recognized descendants may have reasonable access to the sites. And, you know, that maybe both of those could be addressed in some sort of descendant access plan, where there's a clear timeline of time frame of appropriate hours. But there's also some sort of recognition that there could be a need for access during the night for cultural, you know, burials, especially. There could be, you know, having a boundaries where you say, hey, give us 48 hours notice. You can come anytime between 7 to 7 or 7 to 5. That's appropriate. But then also saying for cultural access outside of these hours, you know, there's got to be some sort of give and take on that, where if you schedule it ahead of time, then it's appropriate. And that would be a recommendation that I have. Some sort of cultural descendant access plan, cultural and descendant access plan, I should say. And then I agree also that those sites without the preservation easement directly connected to them, identifying some sort of cultural easement so that there is still it is still shown that there's an access point that will be provided. Those would be main things that I was looking at.
No, thank you very much. It's all really great feedback. And so I can work with the landowner, can try to figure out the you know, the most reasonable way to get down to the site, especially for those two that are kind of more isolated up but closer to the highway. So yeah, that's stuff I can work with the landowner on for sure.
But because I...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Law.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go.
No, sorry.
I just, I guess because I have those things that I've mentioned, I'm not sure, you know, exactly what part of the, whether we're making our recommendation today, but I don't know that I would recommend accepting it in its current state.
Okay. Another question I had was the verbiage that I mean the wording on the 30-foot buffer. I think because I'm looking at the map, the terrain map, the topographic one, and some of those things look kind of steep. I would suggest whatever the 30-foot, the walls, all that stuff has a lot to do with the safety of building those things. Mm-hmm. You know, we cannot just expect the thing to happen if somebody's gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
So I would think, just for, and probably we're on Hawaii, I gotta go build them, but just for safety wise, you should have some kind of leeway on the different areas that those graves or those EV are located. Mm-hmm. To me anyway. So
yeah, there's the one site that 4004, that the biggest one that's right alongside the trail. The 30-foot buffer is shown sort of up on the Mauka side of that site. But as you get down to the by the trail end, I think in some areas it's not going to meet the 30 feet, but we don't want to encroach upon that that access route. So the wall is going to go up to the edge of where the trail line is and okay, come back wrap around. And there's actually an existing wall there that you can kind of see through the map. It's a little bit covered up, but there is an existing wall. So we're trying to figure out how to, we don't want to take apart that site either. I think we're just going to build a wall right around that entire, on the perimeter of the 30 foot.
Okay. Yeah, another thing I looked at was the access for lineal or cultural descendants. So this thing states recognized descendants. So is there whoever is going to be cultural or lineal descendants to these properties or these EVs, rather? Sorry, all the homeowners are definitely going to have a list of those names, right?
They should be provided. Should anyone come forward? That would be with Shifty.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion? There's a lot of suggestions that we already gave Lokelani, so I don't think we're ready to even move on this one yet until we see, whatever we whatever we asked you to try and get that going, comes about. So go ahead, La.
So would it be appropriate, Kea, to make a motion to defer? What would be the appropriate motion that we need to make right now to?
So there's two parts to this one. So you guys have the determination and the recommendation to accept. So you guys could defer both, or you guys could still make the determination to preserve in place, or but just keep in mind the clock, the timeline. So for the determination, now that it's on the agenda for determination, that's 45 days. And then from the time of determination, 90 days for the acceptance.
So we want to definitely make a determination on the first item, the first section of this item, and then, or we can, because it's pretty clear that
we can, or yeah, you can wait to the next meeting. It's up to you. But if you're not going to make because it's on for determination, if you're not going to make any determination today, then yeah, if you guys can make a motion to defer.
I think it would be smart for us to make the determination because there's no issues among anyone here. They should be relocated and they should indeed be preserved in place. We're all in agreement with that. Just in case, since we have 45 days, if something were to come up and we don't have a meeting next month, then there's no way, we could lose out on something there.
You want to make that motion, Javin?
I'll go ahead and motion that we preserve the aforementioned burials in place at the location.
I'll second. And
a second? Yeah. Okay. Great.
I'd be happy to revise and incorporate your folks' comments into the draft, and then I can come back, with hopefully, you know, next month we meet, or, you know, hopefully we do have a meeting, and I can come back and present and for sort of do another run through of the details.
Okay. It's moved and second that we leave the EV in place in all the sites mentioned. And it was second by La. Any discussion on that motion? Okay. Call for the vote. Raise your hand then. Okay. Unanimous. Okay, the ayes have it. Okay, look at Lenny. So you got grilled today, but
No. Yeah, right. I'm glad we had this because there's a lot of good stuff that which is helpful for me in, you know, fixing and cleaning this stuff up a bit more. So thank you guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then do we need to motion anything for the recommendation, Kea? Just motion to defer our recommendation?
I think the most important one is the determination, but okay. If you want to, yeah, you can make the motion to defer the recommendation.
What happens if we don't? I just don't know what's necessary.
So the first one was more important only because the determination is kind of like an absolute authority of you guys to make. And so that one we would have to know for sure. But because the recommendation is based off of the timeline of the determination, then at this point it's just kind of assumed that if it wasn't recommended that SHPD accept it, then, you know, then we're just not going to accept it until there is a recommendation or the 90-day timeline. You know.
Okay. Cross. I'm just gonna leave it alone.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Luglani.
Mahalo nui.
Item 5 of the Borough Council meeting today, the business part is it's communications. A request by Sophia Hanua to consult with the Hawaii Island Borough Council to discuss community concerns regarding borough sites in the Kalu District.
Hello everyone, my name is Sophia Hano, Kikiokaina Oka'u, one raised will die, Ka'u. Today I wanted to just, you know, introduce myself, and also I came with some of our kupuna from Ka'u, and I want to introduce them right now. And our ko'o kupuna right now is Jessica. We have Marie, obviously, and we have kupuna Gwendolyn Sorensen. And back in 2019, we formed a council. It's called the Ka'u Advisory Council, because we have a lot of issues that have been happening in Ka'u, dealing with the EVs and the influx of tourists coming and purchasing aina, the blatant disrespect of our kupuna by the BLNR, DLNR, and all these government agencies. So now the kupuna decided they're taking the kuleana back. They're stepping up to say, because the way we were raised in Ka'u, traditional practices was it took a village to raise a child, but it took the kupuna who navigated and counseled the rest. We have people coming into Ka'u, totally not even speaking with our kupuna. That's not traditional cultural practices. We're talking about the Iwi kupuna. Earlier I heard about, you know, the AG deciding decisions. Who's guiding the AG on the cultural practices? I agree with that. We need to take it back to the people of the Apukua'a. So what we did, 2019, I went and I seek out kupuna. They all belong to as cultural resources to the Ka'u Advisory Council. So if there's a situation that occurs, it is my job to seek out that kupuna of this particular Apukua'a first and foremost. Then, only then, if there's nobody, other kupunas, because we were taught as maha'oi to go out of your Apukua'a. So we reorganized in 2019, and I wanted to let the Borough Council know that it would alleviate a lot of you guys' problems if we went back to cultural practices and seeking, instead of, you know, waiting for the people to fill out the panapana, why don't you come talk stories with the elders? That's the cultural practice. We are being trained right now by our kupuna with the mo'olelo kule oli lifestyle, fishing mauka kumakai, and training from kupuna to the makua, to the opio. Because when they're gone, we're moving right in, and we're ready. Heli Kano was my mother-in-law. I come from a long time. I've been in this family over 40 years. And we know our kuleana. We have a lot of issues coming up, and the kuponas will present with about the EVs. Punalu'u is a big one coming up, and we will be in front of you guys a lot coming after today. Only so we feel that if we keep communications open, we can help you guys also to fulfill your kuleana as being on this board. But I would never dare go to any ahupua or whatever you call it without acknowledging our kupuna. So I think we need to start thinking back. What are we here? We're talking about the EV. Traditional practices first. These government agencies don't know traditional practices. And I come to you guys because we just got, last year, our kupuna stood 3 hours to testify about how their kuleana was stolen, 3,000 acres stolen and given to outsiders. Because one guy from Oahu came claiming no descent. Try to talk to his ohana from that area and see if they supported him. No. But you guys took the kuleana from our kupuna and gave it to strangers. Now how they face the ancestors, because they cannot fulfill their kuleana. My kuleana is to help them fulfill their kuleana, because one day I will be kupuna. We gotta start changing our mindset of how we're doing things. If we stay here, we need to protect the iwi, then let's start with traditional practices. And that's why I'm coming in front of you folks to say that we're here in Kau. Our kupuna exists. Our kupuna is not at the colleges, because the things that we're learning is not in the books. And that's what we're preserving. The most sacred things that you see in Kau is not the physical, it's what you cannot see with the naked eye. That's what we're preserving. And we're struggling every day to do it. We need you, all the kupua. I just hope we brought it up here. We're going to start organizing kupuna around the island. Put our kupuna back where they deserve to be. Running never gave everything. Without our kupuna, we're going to be lost. So I ask you folks to go Kau, because there is, people say that they didn't apply, they never got picked up. They never got, confirmed or anything. I'm asking you two guys who are representing Kau, have you guys ever came out and speak with our kupuna? I called you, Mr. Haumea, and I spoke with you several months ago to let you know that we were trying to come on. And I wanted to give you that respect to say, we get issues in Kau. And our issues are big. Every day that we get put and delayed back by saving these EVs, one more haole coming, one more bulldozer coming. And we can't stop it. We need help. We all need to work together to pa'aka'u. I can only speak about Kau because it's where I come. And La talking about lineal descendants, I agree with her. We get people who not even Hawaiian, but no more than Samara Kamakaria. How come they're not being utilized? They know all the trails, they know who was buried there. That's not close. I right now we can't even afford to have a narrow vision. We need to be inclusive of our whole community. We all mixed here. There's nobody walking that is pure, So let's just do that. That's what our ancestors left the tools for us to use. I'm just wanting to bring this to you folks, and that our kupuna are so special to us. One kupuna, he had over 80 grandchildren from Kau. That's the future, right? She deserved it to be fulfilled her kuleana, but it's been taken away by government agencies. So I ask you guys, when I meet with the county, state, and federal, you coming to Kau, please call, and I will let you call the kupuna, and you gotta acknowledge our kupuna. And the new developers coming in, the Chinese, just bought Punalu and not Na'arewa. She's finding that out. We've been meeting with her. We've been holding her back on a lot of things because we like to take care of our own dirty laundry in Kau. And that's the puliana of our kupuna. So I ask you folks who represent Ka'u, please contact our kupuna. Okay? I mean, you know, that's what I have to share. But kupuna, Jessica, is our kupuna for the Ku Advisory Council. And yeah, that's about all I have to say. And I appreciate you guys' time. Mahalo.
I have a question, Supio. What is your phone number?
808-928-6235. Cell phone 808-756-7086. As a matter of fact, I just got a call probably about 3 weeks ago from Bukelani because the county was going to do the transfer station out in Ocean View. She said, Auntie, you know, I said, boop, 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 call this kupuna. He will point you in the right direction. National Park came out to meet with us, the advisory council. We need help with Pohue. Boop, boop, boop. I get the kupuna. He knows it like the back of his hand. It's that simple. We make it complicated and harder, but we got to go back to the old practices. Respect, intent, because of the respect and the intentions, the consequence. We know this. That's our way of life. But help us, because it's a struggle for us to preserve what we get left in Ka'u. We get so much stuff left in Ka'u. We need to preserve, but we need to imua and help work together to pa'a Ka'u.
What was that 756 number?
7086.
7086, okay. Okay, great. Yeah, well, thank you. That was great.
I want to say something. I just wanted to mahalo her for reaching out. I don't know, we got lost in communication somehow, but I do come out and meet with people from Ka'u. Several of them have come here to the Borough Council for lineal descendants and cultural descendants. I find it difficult because there's several different groups. I only now found out about your Kupuna Council. Back when I moved back to Hawaii, we created the first East Hawaii Kupuna Council. Now it's run by Pi'ilani, my cousin Pi'ilani Ka'avaloa. Yeah, so I'm familiar with Ka'u very much. My family arrived at 640. My family is the Ka'u Haumea. My uncle's from over there, of the Apiki lineage. Lokelani took us up to the burial grounds to inspect the burial grounds. I was the one that stopped construction at Punalu'u. We sued Nature Conservancy. We sued several organizations, Sibura to be one of them, with my cousin Gerard Liloy. So I'm very connected with Ka'u. If I fail to reconnect with you, Ekalamai, yeah, no excuses, no reason, but mahalo for coming and sharing that. I am more than willing to launa and Holomua, and I come to all, my wife and I, we have the only medical practice. We've been to Ka'u several times, invited all of the kupuna, which never came. Just a few kupuna came out to us. I don't know how the aka lines are connected in Ka'u, but we do come to the Pahala and to Ka'u Community Center. We had a healing there in Na'alehu. But I'm more than willing to open my whole mana'o on this is to heal our nation by protecting our iwi kupuna. So once again, Ekalamai, if my communication line has been broken, and I want to heal that and reconnect those aka lines, the kaula. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Go ahead, Sophia. Yeah.
So I just want to clarify because I speak truth. And so back in 2005 was the last development threat to Punalu'u. And that got stopped by our ohana, my mother-in-law, Pelehano, and a group of handful of people, believe it or not, the majority was howling to help save Punalu'u. We went back and forth testifying county council here. So, I mean, I don't give credit to where it was due. Who started the development at Punalu'u was our grassroots people. And it was a honu, the endangered species. But I just want to say that living Ka'u, being related to people in that area, that's one thing. But for us who live, breathe Ka'u, Mama Ka'u 24/7, that's another story. So coming and talking to the Mo'opuna, when you visit, is one story. When you actually live there and live the lifestyle. Talking about pohaku, building protectors or whatever. In Ka'u, we don't touch the pohaku unless get use and purpose. There's a reason behind that, because we are part of the pohaku. We have our own rules in Ka'u. You guys, people who are not aware of it, gotta learn. And some not going to learn because it's not for everybody to know. But by meeting with the kupuna, they will guide you and it puts you into the right place. It's all, you know, I have to say. So mahalo for the time again. But Ka'u, it's very sacred and we need all the help we can get. So mahalo.
Mahalo. Okay, moving on to communication. B, Shifty.
We have another speaker from the...
No, hold on. Oh.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you want
to come sit here? Hello, everyone, for having us this morning. I do thank you for your hard work. And I know it's not easy making decisions. But I'm going to reinforce what Sophia was just talking about. Because for me, and one of my concerns right now is concerning the EV that was done at Ka'u High School. Because where the placement is, it's not porno. But more so, the kupuna, the community was not involved. If you had just a handful, two or three, it's not enough. There was no kupuna that was involved. There was a po'okuma from the school, and she did mention my name when she met with the burial council back in 2013. But it didn't have to be me. We had Piri Hano. We had so many other kupuna that they could have talked started with. Because if you understand Ka'u, you know there's the ana, there's a king. And the ili that was found there was so disrespectful. The picture I have, I can't show you because I don't know how to put it up there. But what is hurtful is that the children stepping on them, adults is walking over them. I don't know how to do
it. How can you put your... Oh. Is there any way we can scan it and send to these guys?
No, I don't feel like any of you at that time were on it, but you know, to see the children and people not know who's there and be so disrespectful, I cannot blame the children. You know, and there was a Maxine back then who said, teach the children. She mentioned that the books that meet the girl comes to me. But the children weren't made aware. For me, it hurts because in the kupuna, we talk about lineal descendants. For me, as kupuna, all in Ka'u are descendants. They're connected to the Ili, that's their kuleana. Even my children, I don't care, even if you don't know who's the first name, last name, it doesn't matter. Your kuleana is when I'm not here, you take care of them. It is important. As my father-in-law, he went out certain sites. He don't know who's there, but he knows that he is there. And others in my community can verify for that. But when they wanted to run the sewage over there, he said no. So did the other kupuna. We cannot take you down, and I wouldn't take any of you down because we have no business down there. Same like when Anna, we have no business in here. But we're told who's there, what's there, but don't go in there. That is part of respect. And so my sitting here today was to bring that up. Please, as Sophia said, you folks are intelligent people. And I do thank you for your time. But please, it's not hard to use a telephone and connect with somebody in Ka'u and say, do you know who's within this certain site? As an example, I am in the Pa'au, I go down to Ninoli, just gonna do, I will take children down there. I don't just take the kids and go down on the bus. I going down, I hear a time, I will say, hooray! I will see one of the landowners. Then I will say, I will talk story with them. Come inside. When I sit down, I will talk story and I will say, the reason I'm here, I want to bring my the children down. I want to do mo'olelo today. I want to do the sights. And when you tell me come, I am then welcome. I'm not mahalo. The kuna always going to say, why you ask? You live in Kaupo, why you ask? And I said, because I need to always show respect. Because I need to knock on your door and say, may I come in? Because who am I to open your door, go in your refrigerator, and you go to get food? That is not formula, right? That's not how we start out. And I'd like to think that what I leave behind for the next generation will be something positive. And so, yes, we are. We're working with our young people. We have our school system, and they do take care of part of the education. But there's a lot that concern our young people that is still our Kuleana, and we cannot forsake that. And part of it is the EV. And anything to do with that. Okay. There was some vegetation on it. So when you say vegetation, you know, there was a question. What do you mean by vegetation? I know it's not vegetables. I know it was the Miakano plants. But even with the plants that was placed on that over the ED, it wasn't enough because people are still steadily. And so, you know, the intent was good, but not good enough. So I believe that had you asked Kupuna to come in, we could have all talked sorry. And then we could have made it more extensive where we could reach out to other Apua, and then they can talk story in their district so that they make the children aware. Stay off of that. Have Evie over there. Have someone there. Okay. And that's why I'm here today. Just to bring awareness. Don't forget. You know, like today's time, they see the Kupuna is being worn out and have no need. That's true. I cannot do as much as the next young ones can. But there's some things that I can do that the young ones cannot. You know? So for me, just as my tutu helped guide me, I like to think that my purpose in life that I can help guide someone else in the right direction. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm far from that. But when you have several mana'o, several thoughts coming together, everybody can work together and we can make it better. And that's what we need. I also have, and concerning connected with other Kupuna, as part of the Edgeville Advisory Council, another Kupuna contacted us in the other districts. So, and as for Kupua, because they have a situation down here. So what I'm bringing up is that here again, respect for the next Ahokoa. And as Sophie said, when you want something here, you call and you be connected there. We're not going to just go into somebody else's space. So this Kupuna call came from Discovery Harbor, the C-section, which you know as Kamaua, as part of Waiohino area called Kalai. There's a hale that's placed on top of a hill. In the golf course, there's an EV that's connected to some of the family that's there. And so they were concerned. But here, even though the Kupuna call, we come down, we listen to him the best we can, and that's why we're here, just bringing awareness. But we're not going to overstep him. You know, Kupuna in that area will conduct things the way they need to be conducted. But we're just here to support. So please, that's all I ask, is if you can make it become more aware that when you go and do whatever kind of business you're doing concerning the EV or anything like that, to please talk story with the elders in your area. And as Sophie said, you know, we sometimes like to look at only Popo, the bloodline. But you'd be surprised, in Kahu we have Japanese, we have Portuguese, we have people who are born and raised there who are so outcome-minded. You know, please utilize the Kuna. They're always available and they won't pull back. Mahalo for your time. Thank you so much.
Mahalo.
I just wanted to show the picture of one of the Ohana from Kamaoa. That's their concern because the Ivy there, it's used, it's in the golf course and they're using it for tee off.
They filled it in.
Yeah. But there's no awareness. So people coming and golfing there, you know, you cannot blame them because they have no idea what's there or who's there. But they should have made some kind of awareness, you know, on behalf of the family. So for the family themselves, they feel hurt every time they think of people stepping. And you know, you're out in a golf course or any place, you need to hold a hole elsewhere. You got a meme. A bush, the tree is right there, but their kuna is right there. So that's why I'm here, just to bring awareness. But mahalo so much for your time and so much for your effort. And young lady, I'm so proud of you. You make my heart happy. Love. Thank you.
Yeah.
Have you any questions for me? No?
Just wait for a second, Auntie. I'm really so upset, and I wonder what we can do to participate and help with the high school EV. There's no signage, and it's just a gravel lift, and it sounds like they moved the EV, which I knew nothing of, because we're not connected. So while you're here, what can we do to try to mitigate? Like, can we contact the Department of Education and the school there, the complex, and ask to have a wall built? Do you want signage there? Like, what do you guys want to do that to make it right?
Maybe I should go back a little. So there's a span.
They did meet with you guys in 2013. I don't know.
There was a gentleman who was in Kau High School, and he was a woodwork teacher, and he came to realize about the structure that he showed. And so he noticed the students going all over. And so when I was doing more little for the school on the screen thing, at the end, he asked if he could come to me, but off the screen, which he did. And that's when he said he needed help because he noticed the students of Kau High School was going all over the TV and even adults. And because he come from the mainland, but he come from an Indian reservation. So for him, the bones were important because he could relate to that. And so he reached out. And so when he reached out, of course, Kau would come in and come start with him. And we also talked with the principal, sharing that. But you know, Sharon, she takes a hard hit a community. Once a community decided to find out, then the community was calling her and harassing her. Why are you doing something to that? So I told Sharon, not when I said I mean our Kuna, who met with her, told her, you know what? Pastor Kuya are not over to us. Even though it's on the state's property, pass it over to us. Let us take it from the community. Let us sit with the community and talk story with them because it's not fair to be on one person. And it hurts. Because you know, when you come from Kau, there are people so emotional that they sometimes the words they choose, not coming from here, but still come from here, but it hurts. And so when they're knocking her down, and so I thought, not fair. It shouldn't be. Yeah. But open communication and give it to us and let us come and see. And so she knows we were here today. I didn't realize. through the group and talk to the very council. And we're going to talk story about this. But I told her, I want to take the Juliana from you and let that be us. So let us be the one to communicate with people to see how we can use that. Because there is this gentleman took a fallen tree and he carved it. Because at first he was going to write on top of here, burial. And we said no. But if you can do us a favor and put the because that's who the people are. You know, hard times come, like the wind, the makani come, the wind push it down, but it comes back up. So are the people, the strength. And so part of the that it's in there, I like that because it's the strength of the people. But it's not enough. There have to be more awareness. But we figure we want to talk story with the folks first, out of courtesy as well. So just to read.
Mahalo. Mahalo, Yahweh.
I think if you guys aren't going to do something for children, if you're going to have
Galena.
Yes.
So what's the
thing? I was just suggesting.
Are you guys okay. No, I was just wondering what if you still was in discussion here. Or you guys just talking story?
No, we're not talking story. We're talking about how we help and how if they want to do something more formal with the school kids, if they have an assembly or something and they want to bring recognition that this is a sacred area that kids don't understand, mm-hmm. and we're going to teach you how you will be altering your behavior to respect this area. That week, I can go and Jasmine can go from burial council to rep. We can maybe get more plants that can get planted or something that fills that space so the children are.
That's the Puyana.
Okay. Just wanted to let you know we need to help and serve and support.
Okay. La. Good, La.
Kind of, I mean, you may have thought of it already. Something that I've always found to be really positive for this, for that age range, the students, when you're trying to get them to be aware of things around them, besides just visiting, is having them have some sort of active involvement. And, you know, permanent signage is a little more difficult to implement when you're dealing with the preservation measures of the site, but it's temporary signage where they make the signs, they can paint them, they can decorate them as groups, they can create an interpretive signage which will require them to learn about the a little bit more about burial sites, and then they can take pride in their involvement, and then because it's at a school, I think they could actually implement permanent signage very easily outside of the buffer because it's their property. So the school, and I really don't see any teachers or staff having any type of disagreement. I was looking at the photo. Thank you, Chris, for scanning that over. And I mean, they could put it right on the grass lawn and the kids could be, you know, could be wooden or it could be stone and the kids could, you know, be guided, but make that themselves. And I think that that could be a really positive way for them to love on those kupuna too, because I mean, they're ka'u kids, right? So it's got to be their ohana. So just a thought, we like to do that with, you know, you see that at Kona'iki, they're trying to get them, the kids and the community aware of the ecological habitats, the hylas bee and all these special areas for native plants and things. And so the kids come in and they paint signs. They get to paint signs of the bees and say, hey, watch out for this species, or hey, there's this native plant here. And they put it all over the roadside at Pine Trees, Kona'iki. And then the huge benefit of it is you get the kids doing it, and then the the parents, they're going to be pretty hila hila if they disrespect that area, because their kids, you know, their kids are the ones saying, hey, you know, we got to take care of this. So it really carries. And then on top of that, the kids go home and they say what they've been doing, and it gets the parents invested and aware, because our, you know, parents, we, the Makua care about what their kids are. That's all they care about, right? What are their kids doing? So it's a good way to, that could be a really positive experience for the kids that are at school there.
Susan, you had a question?
This is a similar case that we reviewed here at the council with Kohala. Kulama Kohala, where they have EV at the school. So there are projects, you know, that they're working on with the Kumu there. And of course, it's a DOE. So they have, there's one conversation. And then that's my family from Kohala too, yeah, besides Kau. But the conversation was DOE, and they looked at it as being religious and stuff like that. So I know they're working through that to make it a student project. But right on, La. It's something that's worth researching and doing. It's always good to have our kamali involved in the process, along with our kupuna. And as we know now in my curriculum, it's kupuna in training. So it's my ka'i. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Go ahead, Keiki.
Uh-oh, Keiki.
Yes. Just gotta ask you.
Kiki, excuse me, can you move in the screen? Kiki, hold on.
Is it okay with the TV in there?
You gotta move in the screen.
Alohe, alohe.
I'm trying to find out the back story. When the other council was doing that, what happened? What was the monarch? Yeah? And the other thing I asked him now is, you have like this in term, or you like we go in there?
Well, first of all,
right.
For me, because I was at the school at that time, and then when they're going to find the EVR, and then I assumed because it was deep, they were going to leave there when they build this big gymnasium over the place. But what happened wasn't that. But I know once they discovered the EVR, the burial council was contacted. Come in, right? That's dark. But what was terrible is that all the workers walked off one day. Something had happened. They didn't want to go back to work. And so all work stopped. Of course, they're all under contract. So if it's not completed, they get here too. But the workers was Makao, they were frightened. And for us, the people who know that once you touch the EV, you would open one $10 box, which should have left alone. Where did we move them? Nobody knew.
Yeah.
And then later on, find out when it's so late and everything was already popped. We didn't know how to do, you know. And to find out now where they were placed, that was very helpful. Yeah. But I know. Having to move them and what have we haven't been able to sit down yet. You know, what we wanted to do is, first of all, because they're placed there now, until we can do other things, we wanted people to become aware of. And most of the students, because they're the ones at school. And yes, thank you about the assembly, because that was one of the suggestions that I wanted to bring up with our people now. Is it, you know, for us to go into school, first of all, talk to the principal if it's possible to do an assembly to allow the children to bring acknowledgement to the site. But first we wanted to talk sorry to folks before we do that too. Here again, it was simply because of respect. I could, because I used to be the school system, of course I could go, but I wouldn't do that because for me it's not corner, it's not proper. So if I can talk story with folks first, and then do, and it's nice to know that I'm on the right track, but I want to do an assembly.
Because
we have that choice, right?
Good. I see somebody behind you. You gotta speak up. You gotta move up. You gotta come to the front. Okay.
I just wanted to say that, again, if you contact the Mokuna, contact us. We're going to directly, you guys don't have to go to the Palapala and see lineal descendant. We can tell you right away who the lineal, who the culture descendant. Going back to Kufuna Haumea, you know, not everybody, they can put up their Mo'okua'u how, which we never want to do. You can put out your Mo'okua'u, rent and break, wear the t-shirt, the signs, I Hawaii, I Kanaka. But to tell you the truth, a lot of people in Kau, that culture, they don't know, they don't understand, and that's just the way it is. There's a lot of them. So the ones that you guys in contact with, are they cultural, traditional cultural practitioners? You can tell me the name, and I can tell you straight up because I speak truth. This is a kupuna who teaches us the mo'olelo from Keoho Volcano to Keoho Kona, because Keoho Kona was under the rule of Kalaniopu at one time. This lady has a lot of knowledge, so does our other kupuna. So direct again, give them the respect. They pay their dues, and I mahalo again. You guys for the time.
Don't think he's such a big deal. I'm not that knowledgeable, but what I share, the mo'olelo is coming from my father-in-law, Jajuhi Aulani Makuli, and of course he got it from his kuna, and so I'm just continuing what was left behind as a kuyama. And as far as kupuna, yes, I do have the hair for it and the ring, but I didn't make myself the kupuna. It's my community who needed me.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't, when I wear that title, I wear it with pride because I never give myself that. My community team. And so anytime I speak on behalf of the people of kupuna. And most of my passion is for my youth of Kau'u, because I know that someday when I'm not here, hopefully I've left something behind that would be so beneficial for them, for their home. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Thank you very much.
I can go.
Thank you. Item B, communication.
Okay,
item B. I think Okay. Item C, request by Jojo Tanimoro to consult with the Hawaiian Island Burial Council to discuss community concerns regarding burial sites along the Queen Kaumano Highway corridor in South Kohala District. Go ahead, Jojo.
Aloha, everybody. Welcome to my warehouse. sorry, I didn't like you. But anyway, I was down at the site this morning. I wanted to show you what Kauai High looks like today as compared to what it used to look like when I first moved here in 1985, 86. Because I got a Hawaiian homestead right around the corner from where this place is. Well, this community has only one way in and one way out, so we all have to pass this place. When I first came, the Ironman Triathlon was already in progress, and I sent you a timeline so that you could see the progress on having a road through Kauai High and then the harbor, so you got big trucks. And this area that we're talking about was actually full of trees. Today, the picture that I show you looks like a staging area. So people park over there. What I'm asking for from the Homestead Association, because you know we're all the beneficiaries over here, so I went to them and I asked them to support the idea of looking for signage so that people know that this particular area, this small area, is a cemetery, okay? Now, I'm not bringing it up just like it's new. This is the kupuna that used to live here for generations and generations,
I've been bringing it up at all the meetings that they can come to, all the public hearings that they have, the EISs and the EAs and all this kind of stuff. They bring it up, but it still has not been recognized. So it's like unknown. The Queen Emma Foundation did do a survey, and I was there. I have no business being there, really, early, but they had invited the association, and I was president at the time. So I went, and there were only two families, but those families recognized areas inside of 2,000 acres, or 300 acres, whatever. But the ones that is in trouble, there was nobody. Okay? So I don't know if that's why nothing has been done about this particular spot. But today, it's so fitting because the Department of Transportation Highways began... Sorry.
Hello? Norman, you gotta mute yourself.
So anyway, Department of Transportation was doing a project to create a right-hand pocket lane. And the alignment of that pocket lane was really close to the cemetery. So the subject came up again. And not by me, not only me, in fact, not only me. It was the community that came up and said, look, the Kupuna said that over here I have, but nobody knows. Okay, so the Army Corps of Engineers came to do a survey of unexploded ordnance, and that's in your timeline. They confirmed that there are burials in this particular area. So the community has been looking for signage because it's not... our property, and we're not sure, even Department of Transportation is not sure where the boundary of that highway extension is. But the thing is, people park over there, they watch the sunset, but they walk all over. The problem is they walk on the graves. The other thing is the Ironman Triathlon. They do all their bike riding and no more bathroom between Porto and the harbor. So they just park over there. You get boulders, you go behind the boulders, you get little trees, you can hide behind there. So they do their business on the graves. And then it's a nice parking lot. So you get people that come with their drug business and they do their little business and then they leave. And so it's so poor thing that nobody is protecting this area. But because it's not like it's mine or it's not the homestead, that we cannot really go claim the property, but we are looking for signage so that people know not to desecrate our EV. You know, I mean, just stay away from that area. I don't know if there's a buffer zone. I don't think the Borough Council even took into account what the Kupuna had said and provided a buffer zone, because now the Department of Transportation moved boulders right up against one of the graveyards that the Army Corps had built stones on. They identified two places, and they had built stones on top of each other to identify those two places. But people still go behind the boulders, and they still use their business. So as of about 3 months ago, we asked the police department to go over there and move the cars of people that's going over there. They tell us they cannot unless we put up signage. Yeah. The only thing they're looking for is the druggies. Okay. So my thing to the burial council is to identify this place, even if you don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. But to identify the place to protect the EV. Okay. The other thing is we're looking for signage. We asked the tourism authority, we asked the civic club, we asked everybody, even OHA, we have that up for them to decide now. We're asking everybody to help us donate the signage and what we got to do, what the specifications and what. I don't know. Anything else? Maybe you guys could suggest something. I really would appreciate it. Mahalo.
Great law.
Kaya, is there a document that she sent you that you would be able to send over to us? She's referencing something that I'm not able to look at.
Right.
I think maybe Chris might have something.
Okay. I'd like to be able to look at that if someone can send that, and then to the council. And then regarding just Kalamai, I'm kind of going in blindly. I know we're talking about the South Kohala district. My first thought is, how many landowners are we talking about? Like what section of this area? And I'm sure that the information you provided with maps or visuals will help, but we would need to know who the landowner is, and it's sounding like it's right alongside the road, so it could be the county, possibly.
When I first moved here in 86, it was Queen Emma land.
Okay.
But then when the Department of Transportation decided to do that expansion of land, we're not sure if it's before the burial grave or in the middle of the cemetery or in the back of where the second grave is located. So the boundary line is unknown. So that question is up to DOT at this point, which is why we don't know who's the grave are, because the families didn't come to the survey. And we don't know where the boundary line is.
So but, there could be more than one owner then. There could be multiple properties then?
No, it would either be Queen Emma or Department of Transportation.
Okay. So that would be the next follow-up is determining whether or not they have a preservation plan and what their interpretation plans are within that preservation plan or the burial plan.
We don't have a plan. It's not our burials. It's just the EV is there. Mm-hmm. So who's supposed to make the plan? Who's supposed to take care of it?
Landowner. Landowner. Okay. So the landowner needs to develop the BTPs.
Okay, great. Then EFOs can help us contact them because they're not answering us. There's supposed to be a land manager over here, but her email don't work no more. So my thought is that she became a real estate agent, and that's not her job anymore. So communication has been trying to do that. It's not happening. Department of Transportation has shut down the project for that expansion of the pocket lane. So until we figure out what to do about this area and the problem. The thing is, the EV, they get desecrated with people using it for the bathroom, and we see them over there walking all over the place, and in the specific area of where the burials are, they don't know any better. So the best that we came up with was put a signage over there. So you cannot say, I never know. There's the sign. So
I will reach out to county and get an answer for you on that. I just need to find that. I just need that TMK or something. So if you did submit documents to SHPD, they're going to send that over to us, and then I'll kind of try to follow up with you if you can, if Kaya can give me.
I sent it to Christian already. The tax map key, the project, the area. The picture of it. In fact, I was there this morning and I wanted to show it to you, but my computer and my iPad wouldn't catch the internet. So that's why I came back to the warehouse so that I can, Anyway, here we are.
I'll follow up with Kay after this and then follow up with you after I get to talk to county.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your skill, for your mana'o. And you're caring for the TV.
One question though, where exactly are you talking about? Where is this?
We Ka'ahumanu and Kauai High Road.
Okay.
There is a kind of a right hand pocket lane that's coned off. Okay. Just before that, there's a highway sign. That area. It looks like a parking lot.
Okay. Yeah. Your big mound over there.
Get the boulders over there. The boulders,
right. Right.
What sections off the grave? They moved the boulder even closer to the lot. It's right next to one of the graves. So they go right behind the boulder. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, I'll go take a look because I'm almost down there. But yeah, I just want to know exactly where you're stuck. I didn't know.
Yeah, right there.
Okay, yeah. And then I think.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jojo. I think whatever notes you sent to Shifty, they're sending to us now. So we'll look it over and see what we can do about that.
Great. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I didn't know there was graves because I walked around there before. I mean, that area, you know,
so all the way down to
Long Way. Not over the grave. I never seen a grave. But yeah. All right. Thanks, Jojo.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. I want to thank everybody for showing up and some great talks and stuff today. Was, you know, it's always the EV. You know, number one, we take it to EV. And like Keke brought up, you know, one way with the school one is, you know, he wanted to know if you like leave him in place or you like move him. That's an important question. You know, if you're going to stay in place, then we got to figure out how to preserve it. You know, I would think maybe even make a Ivi Kupuna day at that school, because as these kids keep growing up, they're going to forget. So every year you got Ivi Kupuna, guys, learn the history of the Hawaiians that lived there and stuff like that. You know, that's a continuous thing, like May Day program or whatever. But I think, you know, if you're talking schools, that might help. You know, I'm surprised they didn't wall that thing up and preserve it even better. I couldn't really tell from the photo, but thank you very much, the people from Kau. That was great. Thank you. And Keke too, nice seeing you again. Go ahead, Akalina.
I think Casey and Keone Kalave are here. They wanted to give an update on Kumukahi. I know that they aren't on the agenda. They have been on the agenda in the past and weren't able to come. So I don't know if we're flexible and can allow for some conversation updates on the burials at Kumukahi.
Well, I really like stick with the agenda. You know, I don't know why you never put yourself on the agenda earlier and stuff like that. But I have no, with Keke, unless anybody else just want to stick to the agenda and we move off. Go ahead.
I don't think we're allowed to.
Yeah.
If we're going to allow them to speak, Mr. Chair, then I just asked for a 5-minute break at least.
Well, I don't hungry? Know. Are we allowed to?
No. I got
to think. I don't even know if we're allowed to, but... That's why I think I just got to stay with the agenda. Sorry, Keke. But no, if you put yourself on the next one. You can talk all you like, bro. I'm with you.
Can we agendize them for the next meeting so that we can make sure they get to speak?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
I'm going to adjourn this meeting, so I just want to thank everybody for showing up.
Make
and,
a motion, Uncle.
Oh, yeah. We're rushing me already. I got my list over here. Okay, someone want to make a motion to adjourn? Hey, I heard that.
We can come over.
In motion?
Motion.
Travin seconded.
Okay, great. So move. We don't have to have discussion on that, do we? Okay, I guess we get discussion then. Okay, we're good. Everybody vote, adjourn. Raise your hand. Okay, mahalo, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.